You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea. It lingered there to touch your hair and walk with me.
Today is the 20th anniversary of Frank Sinatra's death, and yes, that's one of his greatest hits. But if you think that's old Blue Eyes you're hearing, think again. That's Sinatra as channeled by Bob Anderson. He's been a fixture in Vegas and on stages around the country with his show, Frank, the Man, the Music. It's coming to the Detroit Opera House Saturday, June 16th. Long before he became the embodiment of Sinatra, Bob Anderson grew up in Warren and graduated from Center Line High. Bob Anderson, welcome.
Cynthia, thank you so much for having me. This is great.
So tell me, what was some of the music you were listening to back in the old Center Line High days? Who'd you like growing up?
You know what? I liked everybody. I mean, living in Detroit, as you know, Motown, how do you not like Marvin Gaye and Smokey Robinson and Martha Reeves and the Temptations, everybody?
Yeah.
And I loved all that. I loved Elvis Presley. I loved Tom Jones. I loved Michael Jackson. But the main thing for me, I got hooked on the singers of the Great American Songbook. You know, Tony Bennett, Nat King Cole, Andy Williams, Johnny Mathis, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Bobby Darin. All those guys.
What got you hooked on that? Was it the songs?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It was the songs, but I really appreciated how well they were performed. I want my kids to always think that their music is the greatest music that ever happened at any time. I want them to feel that way about it in their generation. But you and I actually know the truth about all that.
Wink, wink.
The greatest music this world has ever known came from the, like, say, the 60s through the 80s, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s.
Even 40s, some of those
in the 40s,
great
right.
songs, sure.
Well, what they did, though, because it was the best of everything they gave you. They had all the great composers like the Gershwins and Cole Porter and Rodgers and Hart. And they would take the wonderful songs from the Broadway stages and they would do those. And not only that, they had the greatest arrangers, Nelson Riddle, Don Costa, Gordon Jenkins, Billy May, all these people that arranged this stuff, Johnny Mandel, and then the singers. I became friends with all of the singers that I grew up listening to. It was really crazy. I caught the tail end of the golden age of the Strip.
How did you get from Warren, and I know you sang around Detroit for some time, how did get to Vegas and wind up being friends with all these legendary names?
Well, I'll tell you. I came back from Vietnam. I was in the 4th Infantry Division. I was only 20 years old when I got back, and I wanted to clear my head. You know, I had long hair, long curly hair, cut off sandals, a peace sign for a belt buckle. I even had a Volkswagen Beetle. So anyway, I got my Volkswagen and I drove out west. I was going to Los Angeles. I didn't know Route 66 took me to Las Vegas, out of Chicago. I wound up in Vegas. I slept in my car for 3 days, didn't have any money for a hotel and stuff. So I pulled my car in my old Volkswagen and parked way in the back of the hotel. And so I walked into the hotel, and I see the Conga showroom. Well, I open up the door, and a dude was there. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He says, "Yeah, can I help you, kid?" And I said, "No, man, I'm just looking around, buddy." So I walk away, and he said, "Hey, kid, come here." He said, "Did you ever see a rehearsal?" I said, "No, I don't even know what it is." He said, "Well, they're practicing it here. Come on in. You want to see it?" He said, "It's Nancy Sinatra up here with the Everly Brothers. You can watch them." So I said, "Yeah, I'll sit down." I sat down, and in 2 minutes, they had a big argument. They got in a big fight, the Everly Brothers on the stage. They walked off. They had been rehearsing for 5 days, and they left the show. Nancy was caught, and she was going to open in 4 hours. And her whole act had to be changed. Everybody was in a panic. And I go, and I tell the guy, "Hey," I said, "I'm a singer, man." And he laughed, and he said, "You're a singer?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I can do whatever she needs." He said, "Well, go tell her." So I did. I walked up to the stage and I said, they were looking like, "How did he get in here?" And I said, "Excuse me." I said, Nancy, I said, "Hey, I'm a singer and I can do anything you need." And so I opened that evening in the Sahara Hotel with her and I stayed with her touring. I took the Everly Brothers spot and she brought me on the Merv Griffin show. And I just sang a song. I was never doing any impressions.
You were just singing as you.
As me. Never an impressionist. But I grew up listening to all those singers. I would babysit for my brothers. I was the youngest one in the family. And I would put the speakers by my ears and just listen to Sinatra. I just fell in love with it. And Johnny Mathis and Tony Bennett and Andy Williams, all these guys. And I would sing along to their records. And I tried to sing as closely as I could to what I was listening to. So I said, if I could sound like them, I'd be really doing great because they're the best. Now, I had no idea that subconsciously I was putting them embedded in my brain.
Sure were.
So years later, this happened. I did the Merv Griffin show. Paul Anka called me as soon as I was on the show with Nancy Sinatra. I get a phone call and he says, Bob, this is Paul Anka. I said, Paul. He said, I saw you on a Merv Griffin show and I'm going to bring you back on next week with me. I said, can you do that? He said, I just told you this is Paul Anka. So he did it. I did the show again. Merv Griffin came up to me after the show and said, Bob, we really like you on the show, but we just can't keep having you on here. You've either got to have a hit record, be in the movies, or do something. So I go to a party a year later to Merv Griffin's. I'm working with Joan Rivers at a workshop in Los Angeles. We go to the party. Everybody in Hollywood's there. It's his 50th birthday. I mean, Gregory Peck, Henry Fonda, Jimmy Stewart, everybody's there. Beach Boys. He plays the piano. I get up out of nowhere. I start singing the songs like the people who made them famous.
It just started. The impressions came out.
Yeah, and everybody, you could hear a pin drop in a second because nobody was doing singing impressions. Impressionists used to do actors or political figures.
Frank Gorshin, perfect example. The greatest.
Great friend of mine, Frank.
Yeah.
And so anyway, Merv said, we found your act. You're going to be the singing impressionist. And he was on the show, and he wrote my whole show for me. He took me back to Caesar's Palace on Friday, and he said, all those great stars are wrapped up in his necks, and you've waited to hear him. He's known as the singing impressionist. So I became an impressionist.
So you now focus on Sinatra. Why did you gravitate and dive down into Sinatra?
He's the only one who transcends every generation. He's as popular today as he ever was. And not only here, that's all over the world what he is.
And he had a career that spanned decades.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I just fell in love with his music. It's all wonderful. So what we do now is the show gives an opportunity for the younger people to leave their high-tech world behind, see what show business used to be like, and come to a reenactment of Sinatra at Caesar's Palace in 1970.
And you have, and I know you're going to have, the 32-piece Johnny Trudell Orchestra with you when you are at the Detroit Opera House. Who has an orchestra that big anymore?
Nobody.
No, nobody. They don't.
And what's so funny about it, too, is that the arrangements were given to me from Frank Sinatra's musical director. They are all actually Frank Sinatra's in-his-hand chart.
What did Frank Sinatra say to Vincent Falcone about those arrangements?
Okay, here's what he did. When he was working with him, periodically after their show, Vince was with him for about 12 years, Sinatra would say, Vinny, here, take this chart home, make a copy of it and bring one back, keep one for yourself. So through the years, he wanted giving him 65 of his original arrangements of the greatest Sinatra collection. He told Vince when they went their separate ways because Frank slowed down, he said, Vinny, there's a reason I gave you that music. I want you to keep it going for generations to hear as long as you can. And when you're done, you find somebody else that will continue with it. So, unfortunately, Vince, who was one of my best friends, passed away right after our show closed. He just got ill and he was gone. But he said to me, Bob, you have to carry this music on. So now I have the 65, and it's so crazy. Nobody in the world has this because people have takedown charts that try to sound like him, but they have Nelson Riddle on them and Sinatra's name is on them and I'm holding his music. So nothing in the show is caricature, nothing at all.
Did you ever meet Frank?
Yes, I worked with him 3 times.
So tell me.
And his daughter Nancy started me in the business.
Nancy started you. So what did he say to you?
I'm in the lounge just doing my regular act.
Your regular act.
But I'm doing everybody.
The impressions,
I'm doing Bobby Darin and every one of those people, okay? And Frank's taught me to do it a number of times. So all of a sudden, it's Saturday night. I'm sitting at the bar in the lounge, and I'm looking at a big mirror, and here comes a little ant pile through the casino. And into the room comes Frank Sinatra, and he walks up to me, and he grabs me by the shoulders, and he said, you know, I wouldn't have missed this kid. So he goes and sits down in a front seat, front table that he was 3 feet from me because it was so intimate that the back of the piano was hitting my butt. Ah. And I was sitting right there and singing. He comes in. Then Diana Ross walks in after him. Then Dean Martin. Okay, then Johnny Mathis and Sarah Vaughan and Steve Wynn and Elaine, they all come in.
You have nerves of steel.
Oh, my goodness. So they were wondering what I was going to do. And I said, let me try to recreate a few singers for you. And, of course, I said, how about Tony Bennett? Is that all right? Can I do Tony? And I went into, you know, for once in my life, I have someone that needs me, you know, and all this stuff. And I sang it. And then I turned around and I did Sammy Davis Jr., you know. What kind of fool am I? And I was doing all this stuff here, Sammy. And then Dean Martin starts talking to me as Sammy. So Dean's got his foot on the stage because it was that close, and I kicked his foot off of there, and I said, "That you ain't in this show, buddy. Get your foot off the stage." So Sinatra laughs, and they're waiting to see, is this guy going to do Frank Sinatra?
In front of Sinatra, in front right of in front of his nose.
And I did. I did the song that Sammy Kahn wrote, "When Somebody Loves You All the Way," and I did it. He loved it. I came down and sat with him. We went out to dinner after the show. He said to me, he's a kid, he says, "You got a hell of an act." And he said, you stick with this one. You got a hell of an act. So that's I kept that one, boy.
Boy, that is something to take. Well, you can get a preview of all of that by being at the Detroit Opera House on Saturday, June 16th for Frank, the Man, the Music, starring Warren and Centerline High School's own Bob right. Anderson. Bob, will you take us out with a song?
I certainly will. Love to. Yeah. Here's one of Sinatra's big hits. You make me feel so young. You make me think that spring has sprung. And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak, I want to run and play hide and seek. I want to go and bounce the moon just like a toy balloon. 'Cause you and I are just like a couple of tots running around the meadow and picking up all those forget-me-nots. You make me feel so young.
You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio.